Пред.
Пред.
This is the ABC.
It's still the ABC, folks.
The space between the two announcements was to allow the studio audience to cough, and if they listen in on Tuesday night, they can invite neighbors to come and hear them.
And now, folks, here is a creature fair as light, like Caesar's wife about to fish. Easy, swinging, chick eyes, though, man.
I would like to tell to you
no, man.
On a trail I found the other girl.
Dig that crazy beat for Tully, girls. I was with you again. And the weather's getting warmer. Steady, steady, girls. Girls, are you frustrated? Then get yourself an ice cold today.
Remember, ISIL does not contain phenacetin. Just rheumatism, arthritis, and old bones.
I say, look here, I've never been so insulted in my life.
It's your own fault. You don't get around enough. And now, folks, here's a record of me saying, hello, folks.
Hello. Oh, that was Mr. Spike Milligan saying, hello, folks.
That was John McLeod saying that was Spike Milligan saying, hello, folks.
And it was John Hewitt saying that was John McLeod saying that was Spike Milligan saying, hello, folks. And that was Al Thomas saying that was John Hewitt saying that was John McLeod saying that was, all that stuff. Hello, folks.
I suppose the ABC do know what they're doing.
We do it for the money.
Yes, but money can't buy friends.
No, but you get a better class of enemies. And now, folks, tonight's drama. Is there a Michael Eisdale in the house?
Stop!
Right. Read the writing written on this written rotten rope.
The scene is the House of Lords in England. The year 1958. A very important year for England.
Said it looks silly with other folks.
That was the voice of Lord Robert Stark. Oh. Sir Thud was a very sick man.
Yes, I was a sickening Thud. It was the 3rd of August, and I had just addressed the House of Lords. It arrived by the evening post, just in time for me to make my maiden speech with my maid.
My lord, I have news that is 6 feet deep.
That sounds like grave news.
Yes.
It also sounds like a lousy joke.
At 4:30 this afternoon is the crow flying on Lord Cricket, on Lord Cricket Ground, Australia. One the accident. And worse still, there were women and children present. Oh, the poor Duke. There are plenty more. Yes. Please, Queen Victoria has declared it a serious day of mourning. The prime monster of the antipode has sent this message of Australian condolence to us.
Dear Lord Sutton, we all join in with you.
In your great loss of the answers. Somehow I detected a note of insincerity.
Look, are we the people of old England going to take this lying down?
Only during the hours of darkness. Have we any more towel jokes, gentlemen? It better be good.
I was going.
Strange.
He's never done that before.
How can we avenge this jolly old defeat?
I'll tell you, we must get the Duke of Norfolk and Gordon Surrey to record Die My Kangaroo Dance part, and then we get to the wall.
That night on Tower Hill, the English took their revenge.
Yes, an effigy of Sir John Bradman was
struck with centipods and burnt.
That Australia hit back. That night at the Royal Covent Garden off the house to show her disdain, Gladys Moncrief sang like this.
Scotland Yard of England and England Yard of Wales and Welsh Yard of China were trying to find a reason for England's losing the test.
I, my name is Inspector Tom McJimstein and Sons Limited. Now, on the day England lost the Ashes, a man from the Ministry of Cricket was sent to my house.
Inspector Thompson.
There was no doubt about it. The phone did ring, you know. And possibly, of course it rang. It went ting-a-ling-a-ling, it went. I placed the door to my ear, and I made a mental note to fire the sound effects engineer. Hello? Speaking personally. I'll be right over to find out what you mean. Crossing only to turn the pages of the script. Arrived as John McLeod in his tabby radio voice who said, "He comes down."
Well, coming to that, I want you to meet Chambers.
Chambers, there's a handle to his name.
Oh, I'm sorry, I beg your pardon. Lord Chambers.
Lord
Chambers. The world's greatest forensic scientist. A brain so refined, it shines like a bright star in the firmament.
Oh, there must be some mistake, mate.
Goosey, who are you?
I'm Herbert I. Fox.
And what's the eye for?
Oh, that's private.
You're a private eye.
Good.
What's your last job?
This is by the sermon. up to date, I've been a municipal rat catcher. I caught 600 in the tracks in a few times.
Oh, and where do you operate?
It's too late to operate, mate. They're dead when I find them.
Yes, I see you specialize in forced laughter. I want you this, Inspector McTombs, to me, in his investigation.
I've worked for the council for 38 years.
Well.
All about salaries.
What?
Could I have one?
Well, shall we say £1 a year?
Pound a year?
Agreed. Now off you go.
Wait a minute.
Inspector McTom Ginstein and Sons Limited, also Proprietary Limited, Australia, and Spock, commenced by searching the recently vacated London state rooms the Australians had occupied at the YWCA.
Look! What's that under his bed? Oh, he's a cricket ball, sir. A space, if I...
Yes. Oh! This is what a cricket ball looks like.
Yes.
Well,
The speaker is out. Yes. This cricket ball sounds hollow.
Yes, it does.
You know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to have a wee look inside. Everybody in?
Yes, you are, Mike.
Here, what's them all on the floor?
Ah, they're not holes.
Aren't they? I thought they were.
They are holes, but they're not holes.
You're you, mate.
That's what they're saying.
Oh. Suddenly, there in the middle of the cricket ball, the inspector saw a boomerang.
There, you hear that? There in the middle of the cricket ball, I suddenly seen a boomerang. Oh, TFC, the worst time. Gussie.
Suddenly the inspector realized what it meant.
You hear that? Suddenly I've realized what it meant.
Good job I came along in this.
The boomerang. That boomerang was the reason for the balls always returning to the bowler's hand.
Oh.
What would you say, madam?
I say that that's the reason for the balls returning to the bowler's hand.
What, Inspector? We've got to report this cricket ball to the NCC and tell the Duke of Norfolk.
Meanwhile, Australia was taking precautions on the cricket situation. The team, the War Office in sunny Sydney.
Just a warning.
My name is Colonel James Whittle. We have met here to decide where to hide the assets for safety.
Where are the assets kept being?
Where all great Australian treasures are kept. Under the bed, in a biscuit tin.
That's a dangerous place on a Saturday night.
So I've discovered. Gentlemen, I intend to send the assets to this part of the Woomera rocket range. Oh. I'll say that bit again. The Woomera rocket range. That's a danger area.
It was for you.
It is a dangerous area. Yes. Therefore, I'm asking for one brave volunteer. Very well, gentlemen. One brave singer. All right. One cowardly volunteer.
That just leaves me.
Haven't I seen you somewhere before?
Oh, I might have been, huh?
They must have lured the wall. Name?
Eccles. What's your name, then?
I'm Colonel James Riddle, damn you. D.C., D.S.O., M.C.
Okay, there's no need to spell it.
Are you mad?
That's what they're saying.
Now, just sign your name on this form saying you're volunteering for certain death.
What? Wait a minute, I can't write.
Well, just put an X there.
Meantime in England, the Australian Secret Service had pulled out something important.
This is the General Overseas Service of the BBC. Last night, two masked Australians broke into Scotland Yard during a policeman's tea party. From under the very nose of the inspector, they serve a cricket ball. The people are therefore warned not to keep cricket balls under their noses. The Australians escaped in a high-powered kangaroo. It is reported that as a reprisal, the British Navy will send a submarine surface try and bring the acid back to
the ship. Captain Stepson, what's our position?
Well, we're 30 feet down and crossing the Great Australian Bar, which is not for us, and it's bar.
You see. Right, up, telescope!
Remember to stand there, again.
Well, come and have a look at this, number one. I better tell you. Come and have a look at this, number one.
All right, Al. That's strange.
What's
it say? A, C, human echo, 6 and 7/8.
The idiot hung his hat over the periscope again. Thank you, Cecil. Thank you.
One lump or two, sir?
I think just one lump for me. Ah.
Now, Cecil, open field orders. They appear to be very, very secret.
Why, sir?
Well, you know that little transparent window with the address in?
Yes.
Well, it's got the blinds drawn.
Yes. It's my turn to open them.
Yes, yes. It was your turn to steer yesterday.
Listen. Suspect man believed to be burying the ashes in Warbler Desert.
Good heavens.
Landing party to stop it at all costs.
A sailing warship passing astern.
Have a shove up.
Brothers?
Yes, sir.
What's the name on her side?
Oh, I'll tell it for you, sir.
Oh?
Yes.
Yes, double air, sir.
Okay.
Again?
Yes.
Another air.
Let's see.
Oh, dear.
You idiot, there's a porthole.
Oh. Melbourne ahead!
Melbourne, what's today?
Sunday! That's off for the day.
It'll go well unknown. Stand by ready party to go ashore. You don't forget, men, we've got to get these ashes back, dead or alive.
Meantime, volunteer Eccles and Greek Tom are preparing for their mission.
Yes. Yep.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Well, hey, what are you bringing at the flower pot for?
Why? I got hurt in it. I'm a landowner now. All the land in that pot is mine. I dug it out of French's forest. It's valuable land, my.
All right. That's a good boy. But tell me something. What are you going to grow, huh?
Grow? This is valuable building land.
All right. Well, what are you going to build?
Flowers.
Oh, my dear. Hand up. Holy smoke. A bush ranger. In 1962.
That's huh? All this television we've been having. You from Whiplash?
You're such a great big human dinner mangler.
Oh, the age of kings.
Don't try anything funny.
But this audience?
Hey, you, Greek Tom, hand over that biscuit tin. Over a mile, you're dead to body. Step over his dead body with the tin.
There you are. No hard feelings, Ned.
Right. Now, take his pistol.
Right, take it.
Point it at your head.
Right.
Now, if you make one false move after gone,
I'll
pull the trigger.
Okay, you got the drop in me.
Hey, Heckles, how'd you go?
I thought you were dead.
No. I was on a bluffing.
Oh, you wouldn't have your wallet back then. Here.
Oh. Hey, what are you shoot yourself for,
huh? I made a false move and I made a promise.
Well, I think it's the finest move you'll ever make.
What Eccles and his partners don't know is they are just decoys.
See? We don't know that. We don't know that they're decoys.
That's what the problem is.
The location of the real Eccles, however, is revealed by Mr. Heffron.
Okay.
It's revealed by Mr. Heffron in the House of Representatives, the 2-1.
What about that
I have been asked to tell you the real location of the arsenal. They'll be secreted in pharmacy.
How did this man that, right?
The lady was very short-sighted. In fact, so short-sighted, she got into her grandfather's car to make a phone call. And he says she must be a very determined woman.
Oh, why?
She got through.
It must have been Andrea.
Oh,
meantime, the British Marine Command have landed, are now rapidly closing in on Eccles and his escort from all directions.
Left! Keep it there! Yes! Off with those travelers, Roger! There, I'm saving it for the hill! Come there! Out!
We'll have to give them a powder each. Now then, we'll camp here for the night, gentlemen, put tents up for the men, and erect a three-story Georgian manor for me. Nothing pretentious. Now then, how are the water supplies going?
Damn low.
Nasty. There's an aborigine native wants to speak to you. Male or female? I can't tell. Haven't got any clothes on. Well, we'll turn our backs in case it's a man. Steady now. We know what you like. Steady, men. Steady. You all get your promotion. Come forward, aborigine of no fixed sex. You make him speak him. Tell him he'd make a long fella speak a long story.
Good morning. I come from the arid desert.
As soon as we heard him speak, we realized one thing. We should have hired an actor.
Steady. On my salary, this is some performance.
Right.
Now, I've been sent here by the chief of the Hanker tribe.
I see. He's a Hanker chief. What a blow for you.
We have discovered two white men dying of thirst in the desert, and one was dead.
The ashes. Hey, the ashes.
For myself, I would have said water, water. Much to the most thirst-sensing wetter spot when I was a boy.
Did you say the ashes? Captain Plum, take a detachment of two-legged men, followed by Eisen and his other impressions, and head for the payoff on page 13, line 3. Hurry!
In that Manchester theory, Australian scientists were working on an ashes locating machine.
That's right, no. Steady, no. Gentlemen. Well, that's fine. Gentlemen, I have been sent here by the Hindu Commission to demonstrate to you the possibilities of the ashes being specially magnetized with atomic particles like these. Now, these particles here, I have magnetized and atomized. See what? I throw them up in the air. Oh! You see that, Mr. Jones? Go and scrape those atoms off the ceiling.
What?
Smith, go and scrape Mr. Jones off the ceiling. Now, Mr. Bloom, will you switch on the radar screen, please? Channel 7.
Secret Service agent knocked on Madam X's door.
Well, I thought they knocked on the door.
To keep Madam X under observation, we had the outsides of her windows cleaned so we could see in, and left the inside dirty so she couldn't see out.
Hey, what are those things outside that I can't see inside outside? Being inside out my window.
We have police officers.
Oh, hello, boy.
Excuse me, but this day, may I interrupt the program?
By all means.
Owing to the absence of Mr. Rick Hutton, there's been a maldistribution of lines among the artists' clearings. I'll just go through the scoreboard for you. For instance, Mr. L. Thomas has only had 13 lines, the last line of which was, "We are police officers." Now, both Messrs. John Hewitt and John McLeod have had in excess of 42 lines each. Look, Isaiah, boy, this is going to be rather lengthy, so, if I haven't the background music here, thank you very much. That's jolly good. Right. I myself have only had, now let's see, approximately 23 lines, which is well below my norm of 38. I'd like to mention at this stage that high tide at Port Jackson is at 4:32, and Whiting biting at the spit. As there are only four pages of dialogue left, we're going to distribute the lines in quantity rather than quality. That is, several of the cast might deliver the same line at the same time. Do you understand what I think? That's all about all I need to say.
Finished. What do you unemployed actors want, man?
Just a minute, madam. My name is Inspector Bertram I. Lynn. The eye is silent as in looking.
My name is Madeline Bannister, but the legs are silent as in trousers.
Madam, are you the owner of Whalebone Corset number 42, 38, 46, outside X?
Yes, they are a present from my husband in memory of 36, 26, 38.
Where are the corsets in question, sir?
Sir? Madam, for you.
Ha, ha, ha. At your age, it doesn't really matter.
What's the address of the foundry?
The address is Street Street.
Street Street?
Well, that's only the name. The full title is Street Street Street. But the lover is silent as in wardrobe.
That's in Chinatown. Quick, do it.
We are police officers. And I must warn you, anything you say will be taken down and used in the Bob Rogers show.
Finally, after friendly persuasion, some gentle talk, and a 4-hour bashing with an iron bar, the Chinaman gave up the garments and the ghost.
With trembling hands, he tore them open. Look! The ashes. Yes.
Steady now.
What?
Hold out your hand.
Okay, don't worry.
I'll pour them out.
Place
is locked. You idiot! That's how Australia lost the address.
You've been listening to The Idiot Weekly, an ABC radio type publication with Jim Gutney and the ABC Dance Band and the voice of lyric soprano Patricia Ridsbeck. Reporters were Michael Eisel, John Hewitt, Paul Westman and Al Thomas, their destinies guided by idiot-in-chief Spike Milligan, who also wrote the copy. Wielding the blue pencil, our producer John McLeod. Effects, John McGraw and Jim McLeod. Control operators, Sid Butterworth and Dale Thirty. Special music, Neil Thurgate and Aunt Peter Young. We'll be going to press the same time next week with the Idiot Weekly, so make sure of your copy now by thanking all of your newsagents.